Welcome, this is Beyond the Here and Now. I'm your host, Antoni Lau. And this is the show that will take you a moment to wrap your heads around new thought, new thinking, new ideologies than you've been taught to think and to believe about yourself, the world around you, and your place in it. Today's topic, we're going to talk about past life regressions. And the interesting thing is, it's not a theory. You know, on my show, it's not about a belief or a theory. Yes, I am a hard and fast skeptic, always have been, even with this gift since childhood. And literally, it's important to continue the studies throughout our lives, to continue to open, to grow, to utilize the knowledge that isn't always so topical or apparent. Now, when it comes to past lives, again, it's not a belief. The subject would not be on my show if it was. Now, many years ago, I had heard about the topic. It was very popular in society at the time, and everyone wanted to know what they were in past life. They thought they were somebody famous or great or whatever. But I knew right away that that wasn't the possibility, that there's too many people, and they have to have different walks of life, different focuses, different experiences to become a more well-rounded soul, more well-rounded individual in their life. So it's important to understand. At that time, I was really curious, but at that time, it cost a lot of money, I thought. And oddly enough, I was in my mid-20s or so, and I thought, wow, it'd really be nice. Well, less than maybe a week later, someone that I knew had a friend that was a famous author, and was going into a different direction and wanted to choose me as a subject for his regressions, and that was the whole purpose of the book. And so it was wonderful. It was, you know, interesting, and it was quite long and lengthy because he was doing a lot of detail, recorded it all. And it was amazing because in my left brain thinking, my logical thinking, I thought, I don't know what he wants, you know, what the heck is this? And all of a sudden, something would blurt right out of my mouth and I could hear myself saying it. And I thought, oh my goodness, where'd that come from? And then at certain points at that time in my metaphysical journey, I was spiritually aware, metaphysically knowledgeable, but still learning a lot of processes. I mentioned things through that regression that I would not have any idea of knowing. And because I'm a hard and fast skeptic, I like to confirm things. And it was after that regression that it showed and confirmed itself in several different ways, varying ways after that. So I was pleased, very happy, very thankful. He also left a note, as I understand many regressionists might do, or psychotherapists will do, or hypnotherapists will do in a regression session, that this will bring up grapes, he called it, of memory from the subconscious mind. One memory will feed on another memory after the session to keep unfolding. And all this is for the benefit to this lifetime as well. So we process and achieve our highest and best in this lifetime. Well, that was fine at that time. It was brilliant. I won't go into that regression at this time because I had the urge again this year earlier after attending a conference sponsored by the Association for Research and Enlightenment, which is the Edgar Cayce Foundation, and listening to the speaker at the time, Peter Woodbury. And something prompted, and I thought, you know, I think it's time to have another regression. And so I thought, this is a good time. So I made the appointment, scheduled, didn't know what to expect. And remember, the regressionist didn't know I am still a hard and fast skeptic, always have been. I like proof and proof and proof. I won't discuss or say anything for about 5 years before it's really proven in some way from the divine universe and through courses and studies to confirm that material. And so I went open to receive whatever the divine guidance that came through. And he's very popular, book bell to bell, very professional. As I went into my session, there were several things that I went through. And they were real, real emotions, real visions, not just something my mind was trying to make up. And I knew that they were valid, knew that they were real. And at the end of the session, as I came up from it, as I was starting to come back or being guided back by his work, he said, this happens rarely, but I just got a name as well. He said, in fact, you were a nun. And I thought, everybody knows, if that knows me, that I was probably a nun several lives. And I thought, yes, thank you. I said to him, that's all. And he said, does the name Claire ring a bell? And I said, kind of, but not really. it did slightly, but that was about it. And I said, you know, thank you very much. And then he happened to look online quickly and say, wait a minute, Claire. And he looked and saw St. Clair. And I thought it was ironic that the picture, and of course they're saints and they can be different or vary from their real appearance of the time, it looks similar to my own grandmother in this lifetime. And I thought that was interesting. I thought, well, let the universe now prove this to me. And so even though I'd had a brilliant experience, really full-bodied experience during the session, this left me and I said, thank you very much. As I was driving home, I didn't realize I'd taken the wrong way. I'd actually gone not the quick route, I'd gone the long, busy route at 5 p.m. So I was stuck in traffic at the very onset of getting on the freeway right after leaving the session. I thought, let me turn on some nice music, just relaxes a relaxing feeling from the regression. And so interesting, as I drove, all of a sudden the song ended. And at the end of the song, the announcer said, there's a traffic stop for 40 minutes at St. Clair Street. There's a traffic stop. And I thought, you gotta be kidding. Got goosebumps, school chills. I thought, this is ridiculous. And so I went and still listened to music after every single song on my hour drive back to where I was living. Literally, it said, the DJ said, 40 minute pile up, or we don't know why, at St. Clair Street. And I wasn't even aware that that street existed. Now, this is interesting because I thought, wait a minute. And I knew it was the universe always, literally, my demand for confirmation from them was strong. So, of course, not enough for me. I like to do that deep look and research. So I went in and I continued to go right online to Wikipedia to look up St. Clair and look at it. And I realized, wait a minute. And I looked at the notes, and then I looked at the family history of St. Clair, and she came from a wealthy family out of Italy. Well, I thought that was interesting because in my visits, a couple of visits to Italy, I had this unusual love for Italy. Not only that, I knew that the nun quality was excellent because the regressionist or Peter did not know that at 13, I made this very, very important quest with my mother on a one-on-one to sit down and tell her that I wanted to be a nun at 13. This is where I thought you used this psychic gift, and this was important for me, and I had to do this. She looked at me and she gave me this long lecture, harshly, of why not to. I'm glad today she did. But what happens is, it's important to understand there was this urge at 13 that the regression therapist didn't even know. And so I'm still looking at the St. Clair data and the St. Clair information. I thought, well, I know more will probably be revealed. And I'm looking and seeing the life, and she was born 600 years ago, approximately in the 1200s. And I thought, that's interesting, because I had confirmed already that I apparently had not incarnated for about 600 years studying divine universal law. And I thought, well, that's kind of an interesting quality. Let's check. And then I went even further. I found that as I was stepping into her mother's name as Claire or St. Clair in Italy was named Ortolona. Ortolona is Italian, which we would say in the English language, Hortense. Very few people knew that my mother in this lifetime, her real name at birth was Hortense. And she had changed it because nobody liked it after that few moments as a child. And she had changed it to the name she chooses to use, Carmen. So I thought it was an interesting quality that how can that mother, hey, wait a minute. And then that would not be enough. Of course, that was by the time I'm doing my research. I wake up the next morning after a waking dream that reminds me that my life in California, of all the places that I love living for many, 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 many years, is named Santa Clarita. Now, I thought that was strange because here it is. I had moved to Santa Clarita in California. It's outside of Los Angeles, some 45 minutes, when it was called Valencia. And it was great. It was beautiful, the area. I just go back and forth into the city. But I love the nature and the atmosphere. And that area had such a really wonderful feeling for me. The day before, I hadn't even put together the fact that I was in Santa Clarita. 5 months after I moved to Valencia, the town council changed the entire city's name to Santa Clarita. And I thought, well, wait a minute. This could be just a, you know, hold on, let me check further. I looked and I know in Spanish, Santa Clarita means Little St. Clair. But I wanted to check. So I went to Wikipedia to look up the city and found that the Spanish had named in the north Santa Clara, and that was California. But they'd come down from the St. Clair River, and they named the town Santa Clarita or Little St. Clair. And it was named after the same saint. I thought, this is amazing. How could this be? So my soul knew, perhaps my conscious mind didn't, but my soul knew that there was a connection or a calling. That would not be enough. So I continued to look and investigate more for more and more proof. And I ended up, the time frame I was going into and more things would flip up. And I thought, I even tried to see visions that I saw during the session or the regression session and tried to find photographs that would match it online. I still couldn't get the St. Clair thing. And I thought, wait a minute. I found out she had a sister that had joined with her 6 months later. And then I found out that her own mother, after her mother's husband or her father had died, had joined the convent as well. Now, the two trips that I had made to Rome or to Italy, the last one was with my mother. The odd thing was I went to the Vatican, and my mother had a problem at the time. Her knees were not doing well, and she couldn't really stay to see the tour. So we had to be rushed back to the cruise ship. My mother liked to cruise. She did some over 20-some cruises in her life, and I was trying to connect to her in the way of something she loves, and that's why we chose that trip together. Now, the interesting thing was, I'm going all over Italy and everything else, and it was wonderful, but I thought only at that spot did she have an issue. Now, that would not be enough. So I'm still, you know, looking at my normal life and now letting the universe show when it deems necessary that I'd be revealed with more information. And I'm talking, and before my, I belong to the Edgar Cayce study group and Sunday nights, and before I would join them in the afternoon, I happened to see a message from one person that I know from that lives in Rome. He's born and raised there. I knew he and his wife many, many years ago. And he would write a message from time to time, his life, career. I thought that was interesting. And so he left a message just that day. And I thought, oh, a voice message. I thought, that's rare. He rarely does that. That's interesting. I know he's trying to, you know, process his life right now. That's understandable. But let me surprise him and give him a call. I called. He says, oh, my goodness. He was shocked to hear from me. But at the same time, I was getting this strong connection. I thought, that's really an interesting thing. And so I said, excuse me, when I share the St. Clair information, he says, wow. And all of a sudden, I got a buzz. I got a buzz about I should ask psychically whether this person was St. Francis. Because you see, St. Clair had entered the convent after hearing a talk from St. Francis. She joined the convent against her family's wishes. She gave up all her wealth and made her vows. Now, what was interesting about this was, that was fine. And I thought, thank you very much for the conversation I mentioned. And I did the quick reading for him to see. And it showed, I said, you know, I know this may sound strange, but I believe you may have been St. Francis. He says, oh no, he's a saint. I said, no, they named him a saint after. I said, but I think it's kind of strange that this is coming up. So he said, you know, it's strange because he teaches film and theory and does film and documentaries. He said, I was just asked to do a new documentary for St. Francis last year. He said, out of the clear blue, and I saw all the stories and information about him. I said, well, thank you. Okay, I've got to go for my study group. Just before the study group, I remember that it is Palm Sunday. And I look up and there's a tab on the computer open still, and it says, it was about St. Clair, on Palm Sunday, and it gives the year, St. Clair and St. Francis formed the convent order that she was known for called the Poor Ladies or the Order of St. Clair on Palm Sunday. And here I was talking to him out of the blue. I'm clearly out of the blue, years out of the blue, on Palm Sunday, just before the class, and I was again in shock. So all these things and the clarifications continue to come. I was trying to locate the sisters or the orders of the nuns or whatever. And it all my own processes of how I deal with wealth and monies. I believe they should all be given for the benefit of many others. But it's an amazing quality. Those things are still coming up. And today I'm very happy and pleased to introduce to you my guest today, the regressionist Peter Woodbury, who's with us today. How are you, Peter?
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you. And I'm sorry I was a little lengthy in the foreground there, but my goodness.
No, not at all.
So, Peter, you've done... Peter, please tell us a little bit of background about yourself so the audience knows.
Gosh, I wouldn't know where to start. I guess as a child...
Yes.
my great-grandmother was like a grandmother to me. She was 100 years old when I was born, and she lived to be 107, and she was a medium. And so as a boy, you know, it's really cool when your grandmother has imaginary friends. And so after she passed, I continued to be curious about the unseen worlds. And this was a hobby that I kept. I went on, my parents were psychiatrists. I went on to eventually become a clinical social worker. But along the way, I found the work of Edgar Cayce and got very inspired by it. And about 12 years ago, maybe like St. Clair, I joined the order of Edgar Cayce in Virginia Beach. And I've been there ever since, lecturing and teaching and enjoying life.
You're one of the most popular speakers that they have. I remember looking into your work a couple of years ago when it started to go online, and it was a little different from the others, but I liked your humor with it, your ability to be real and human, and it touched everybody, and the laughter that goes with it about real subject matters. And you are amazing with your discourse about the study of Cayce's thoughts on the things as well. But I noticed also this quality in yourself, your own intuition, your own abilities, to give us the benefit of your work as a psychotherapist or a hypnotherapist for past life regressions. Mm-hmm. And so you also teach it as well, correct?
Yes.
And so ultimately, out of the teaching, you've seen, like I said, several events, but you're now able to share that information. And can I ask what you've seen in teaching, like I said, the quality of past life regression, in the overall view, when people or even your clients go through this, what have you seen become out of their lives as a benefit to them from this?
I grew up Catholic, and it was a foundation for me. I wouldn't say I'm Catholic anymore. Maybe the word Catholic means universal, so maybe I've become universal. But yes. The teachings of Jesus resonate with me in their metaphysical and kind of in their broader perspective. And there's many things that he said that resonate with me and what I try to do. And one of them was, he says, I don't want to give you a fish. I want to teach you how to fish. And so the work that I do, it's, I think that the ocean of knowledge or the ocean of spirit is within ourselves. And so I've plumbed so much from my own inner diving that I try to teach other people how to do it. And I think that we're at an important time where I think that if we keep turning outside of ourselves, we don't really find answers. And I think we find kind of what's going on in the world is a kind of an empty search. But I think when we go in within, it's really we have transcendent experiences and we find the vastness of who we are. And we connect, you know, depending on how deep you want to go and how consistent your practice is, I think you can go all the way to the God source within your own self and bring that forward. And so with the work that I do individually with people and then with the teaching that I do, it's just really to try to help people learn how to access their inner wealth. You know, Houston Smith one time said one of the most important things for the human condition is to have transcendent experiences, but one of the most rare is having transcendent experiences. And I think this dry world we live in, it's like people turn a lot to drugs to have a transcendent experience. And I think when people learn how to access their own inner, like Dali, as Salvador Dali said, I don't need drugs, I am drugs.
Melting time, you know, that vision of melting and his work, and he was always outside the box, literally.
Yes, so that's what I try to do. It's just in a kind of pithy way, I say the old age, the guru was outside of you. For example, even even with Jesus, you know, you had to go, you had to show up, and Jesus did all the heavy lifting. And I think nowadays we're finding the Jesus within ourselves.
Yes. It's a time frame that people don't realize. It's a really transformative time for humankind. We are evolving. I talk about this in many years of my research, that we're moving closer toward that vortex that you refer to as oneness or God creator or the divine. And it opens up that quality that kind of has been suppressed for humankind for some time, that extra sense or that sixth sense or that inner sense. And so what we're being called to do now is kind of clean up our own garbage and inspire the rest of the world to do the same. That it means that we all benefit from this growth. And so it's so interesting when I see, you can see it through advanced astrology, the evolutionary journey as well, and especially evolutionary astrology, one of my favorite ways. You can see their past lives, what actually happened, what they did, what they shouldn't do this lifetime. And everybody has free will. We can apply the information or not always. But it's important that they, as you stated, we need to look inside. And so it was interesting that those that think, well, this is just one life, I'm just going to have a good old time. That's not the case. And so I always like to remind people that God loves us a lot. The divine universe loves us a lot. He knows we're going to get it right at some point and get it improved and better each time. And so he grants us opportunity to be literally to be born again. But no, you know, we made it into a religion, which is the problem. So what happens is born again really literally meant, and you will be born again. That means the soul, we each have one soul that lives forever, and we keep getting into these cute bodies, genders, nationalities, and religions for a greater whole experience, or to become more aware, more divine, more like Jesus' example, creation of Muhammad, Moses, Buddha, all of their examples, all the saints and sages that go before us, we're supposed to evolve more toward them. Nobody's perfect on the planet, but 7.6 billion souls asked to come at this time. And what I notice in my work is they actually bring qualities of cycles of past lives, personality traits, talents, abilities from those past lives into this one for the benefit of their greater soul growth, as well as personality traits that they promise to get rid of, overcome, deal with in a more positive manner, or effectively to be better. Even Casey himself, he wanted just to be all his life a Sunday school teacher since childhood. But yet he was shocked when this premise came up, and even the study groups of that time were shocked when they realized, what? Past life? Should we take this? Some of them even broke away because their Christian faith couldn't understand it. But that was a limited faith or a limited understanding. And religion gives us a beautiful base of loving the divine universe, what is literally the purpose, a focus toward it. But it's more than just Saturday or Sunday or religious programming. What happens is we promise, many of us this lifetime, to gain a personal connection, one-on-one, with oneness, God creator, on our own. And it has nothing to do with Saturday and Sunday. And so to take a foundation that we were all raised with or not, and open up in adulthood to that greater understanding or that greater awareness of that divine connection. And most people think they're just this material body. Well, we're not the body. This is just the container. And so in this container, we're able as a soul to experience all these wonderful qualities that the earth plane gives us.
So what I say is that when you used to drive around, and when you go to a new city, you'd have to take out a map, and you'd try to figure out, you know, you'd have to, it was a difficult process using a map. And then along came phones and GPSs, and then the GPS just taps into a satellite and it tells you, take a left, take a right. And by, as above, so below, I think that we all have what I call the God positioning system. We have our own GPS system, and we have to activate that. And I think that we're all like, you know, we're wandering around like it's 1970s spirituality and it's 2019. And in 2019, use your GPS, your God positioning system. And I think that with meditation and other practices, regression is just one of them. You tap into that and you realize, you tap into like the satellite, you know, that the part of you that's above and can see the bigger picture. And I think that the psychics and Edgar Cayce were the forerunners. But I think this new age is that blessing, that possibility is available to everyone. And it's a great time to be a regressionist because the veil is getting thinner every day. And it's easier and easier for people to enter into trance states and activate this kind of experience. And so it's a fun time to be doing it. People are so excited, you know, and I don't want to promise miracles, but you know, it's about 80 to 90% of people tend to have a pretty significant experience. You know, some folks, for certain reasons, it's a little bit difficult to enter trance, but there's techniques to help those people too. But it's just, you know, it's a time where I think that for our civilization to survive, we have to transcend. I mean, we have to get beyond the belief in ourselves as this five sense being.
And yes.
We have senses and seven senses and eight and infinite senses. And so I think that, you know, I don't know, you know, how are things going? You know, it's like you look around, you see with your body, and your body is finite, and your body doesn't have a great ending, but your soul is infinite. And so there's always hope. In my senses, there's always a plan. And once you tap into that plan, you get that peace beyond understanding, and it's not to be lazy, just be, you know, there's a plan, so you don't have to do anything, but we're all part of the plan. And when you tap into it, you can pour your energy into something that's very constructive. And I think each person has a part in that plan.
That's correct. To me, no one soul is greater or better than another, just different, yeah. With different qualities. And what I like in your work is you've seen the cross-section of life with your parents, your grandmother. You chose, and we all know, and this is the listeners on my show will know, that we choose our parents 2 to 3 years before we're born. It's not a one-night thing. What happens is it's a beautiful plan. Yeah. It's a beautiful plan.
Picking your parents isn't a one-night stand.
Yeah, thank you. So we literally, the soul gets to see each parent after it's granted permission to come back to Earth School 101, I like to call it. They yes. get to see each parent that they've chosen, whether they're going to stay together, be apart, divorce, whether they're going to be adopted, all planned before the soul for its experiences that it needs, even how the parent is going to raise them or act to overcome issues or work on issues or expand for greater soul growth for themselves. So they can't, they can't complain. But they promise, they saw it. And so hopefully we treat the parents with that respect because they granted us that breath of life to come. But what's interesting is after 18, we promise to clean that garbage up. So the trick is throughout our life, the world wants to put everybody on this hamster wheel of let's look at the phone, let's look at the work, let's get the check, let's look at the TV, go to sleep. And so we're kind of in that somnambulistic state of sleep, but in the wrong direction. And in this lifetime, we promise, as you stated, with the veil coming down, to open that awareness that we are spiritual material beings, or that yin-yang quality. We're not just this. So it's amazing. In practice, in my work, I've done over 50,000 readings for clients. I stopped counting in 2003. It was kind of prolific. But and I'm, like I said, highly respected in my field for what I do. I actually see and hear the person's guide / guardian angel. And it's for their soul growth, their for benefit, not just if you're going to get a card, all that stuff comes, but it's for soul growth. And that's quite a difference. But what I notice is in my work, when people would come, the past lives would either pop in or not, or what the issue was that they're working on, or where they find themselves in their life now, the arena or that area that they need to work on. And it's like a little seed that's open for them, that opens so they can heal this particular portion of their life, or to move forward from this in the best choice or the best manner for them in this life. So the work is, for me, great. It's not uncommon for me to be right into the reading and see it and hear it, and I have to describe it, and that person will know and relate. And I don't know these people. They're mostly referrals or guided to me for that reason. But it's important that we understand that the growth doesn't stop. And I want people to understand, when I talk about past lives, it was actually taught to the disciples. Jesus taught the disciples about past lives. The Essenes taught before that about past lives, that guided that work of Jesus, the Gnosis at the time. Now, what's interesting about that is that right around 549 AD, the councils of the churches at that time decided this is an easy way out for people. Let's take this part out of the Bibles. And so they took it out. So the person has to really work hard in this life with what they thought they would get a chance or a ticket to come back and do it again. The church council thought it wasn't proper. So they took it absolutely out of the Bible, but it was originally there. So people have to understand they asked to come at this time, knowing that these veils were going to be pulled away. The soul knew, even though the human side it may have forgotten, we tend to retain only 1% of the knowledge that we're born with because it's a school. And I say all the time, literally, every day in this life, in school, in our normal schools, we get a lesson every day and then they give us a test in a few weeks. But here, every day is a test. So that, therefore, we learn the lesson. And we're just supposed to be asked to not be perfect, just do our highest and best in those moments. Small moments are just as important as the larger. So we each have a custom plan that our soul promised. Nobody's forced us. Our soul promised to work through. We're asking to come here and improve. Now, there is a law of cause and effect, Casey talks about as well. And that cause and effect is why we ask to return to Earth School 101. And so ultimately, it's important that we respect universal divine law, cause and effect. And to this day, I have a hard time understanding how people can do or think or act a certain way because they're doing it to themselves. They don't understand. We're all connected. And ultimately, it's going to come back. And so I don't want people to beat themselves up for when they didn't know better, because that's what happened. The soul brought in past life issues that it didn't know better and is trying to work things out. I want them to know that they're always going to be divinely loved. The divine universe doesn't judge, only stupid humans do. So it's important for people to continue to work, as you stated, inward, to see more than just this, to see more than what they're programmed to do, to release the program dynamic and go for that calling on a soul level. Now, you teach people, as you said, about regression. You teach them and you study with Brian Weiss and some other people that were very prolific in their work, bringing it out to the public. But when you teach them, your classes are usually full up in Virginia Beach, correct? And you can, I think you're teaching there. They can look on your website at peter.woodbury.com. Is that correct?
No, it's Peter Woodbury, one word.
Peter Woodbury, one word. And that was woodbury.com. Peter Woodbury.com for his schedule of those classes. I believe it's September in Virginia Beach. But you're also going to be teaching in August for a class that may not be as full, so they can have a little more hands-on opportunities in Petoskey, Michigan, I believe.
Yes.
And in August, and they can again look for that event to join so they can have a good, clear picture of the class, the study, if they want to become certified regressionists, correct?
Yes, and I think the popularity of the class is that it's not a theoretical class. I mean, it's very practical. So from start to beginning, a student can come in completely a beginner, never having done a regression, hopefully having received one. That's what we ask. But by the end of the course, they will have been regressed 3 times by a classmate, and they will have regressed a classmate 3 times. And in that experience, they begin to understand that this is not a it's not a theoretical or it's not a intellectual exercise. It's very soul driven. And even when students are reading from a script, they're able to assist people to have very, very transformative experiences in a room sometimes where there's 10 other people also practicing. So that the class itself, that the students, I like the way that we've created it. It's just because it's, you're learning by both witnessing transformation and experiencing it yourself. And the course has had this structure for the last 5 sessions, and I think we've really hit it. I think it's a great class. So and it has a good reception. Students are, you know, people take it for all kinds of reasons. Some people never want to be a regressionist. They take it just for the personal growth. And then some people want to add it to an existing type of practice that they have. And my sense is that everybody gets what they're looking for and what they need. So it's been a fun experience. I have some really good assistants and stay in touch with graduates, and it's been, it feels good to be doing it.
it's wonderful that you take the time to facilitate it, because I haven't seen it so wide before. There's certain places that offer, but in this vein, I like it because your soul has this background of the Casey work as its proponent as well. And that association to me is the most confirmable association in these subject matters. It has been for me since the 80s when I was unusually introduced. I didn't had never, in all my studies at that time, had not heard about Casey or the work. And so I had an unusual experience that brought me to the work.
And all and his trance readings came through hypnosis. So that's what really got me working with it. You know, it was confirmation that highly spiritual information and work can happen through the practice of hypnosis. And so that's the vein with which I've done the work and with which we teach it at the Edgar Casey ARE.
I noticed that in the first regression I had and yours, there's you have a beautiful, calm, professional manner with it, which is excellent. It is ease, because you're a little nervous, you don't know where you are kind of for the second, and you have to collect yourself and the drive there or whatever. But you're good at putting people at rest and dropping into it rather quickly, which I thought was strange and excellent. Okay, because I thought, geez, I've driven a long way, I've waited, what the heck? You know, you don't know if you're going to be able to process down. But you professionally handle it very well. It's very smooth, very easy. And in the classes, I'm sure that they're going to learn your steps or cues or skill sets to help make it easier for their clients. But I'm stressing.
Probably the biggest hurdle to for people, let's say the first time somebody has a regression, is that people think that trance states are exotic, meaning that they've never experienced them before. And so the first thing you have to teach a person is that every night when you're going to sleep, you go into trance states. Or sometimes when you drive and you end up going an old way instead of the way you were intending, that's a mild trance state. So it's just letting people know that somewhere between being awake and asleep, you're already in a trance state. And if they're open to the possibility of what might happen in those trance states, which is the use of suggestion, which is hypnosis, and then the process is imaginative. So once a person gets comfortable with, well, I'm not quite awake, I'm not quite asleep, am I really hypnotized? But if they'll just go with whatever comes into their subconscious, their soul mind, that's really the conduit of experience. So it's sometimes the first time somebody does a session, it's getting them used to the process. But by if they ever do it a second or third time, you get familiar with it. Like like by now I can just close my eyes. I'm very easy to put in trance.
It's interesting, like I said, so you're basically they should have hold no fear. I remember
if they have fear, they should just be present with it. You know, a lot of, I say this work is deeply healing. And so sometimes people have injuries that they want to explore. Like I'll say, when you go to a doctor and your right knee hurts.
Losing a little bit from the media there.
And your left knee is fine. Well, the doctor is not going to look at your left knee. He's going to look at the injured knee. And so sometimes in the healing process, pain, a session may in and of it. Can you hear me?
Yes. It's back. We had a little waffle from the digital world there. It, you know, anytime a coronal mass ejection hits or something, you know, solar flare hits, it kind of distorts. Okay. But you were saying if somebody has a pain.
Well, whenever I speak truth, that happens.
Very good.
Yeah, sometimes the process might uncover pain, but it's the injuries that we have are painful. So sometimes the healing process has to go into the pain and uncover it and release it. And so that's the process. A session may, the beginning and middle may be painful, but by the end, it's usually healing. It's been a release. So I think I teach the students and myself not to be afraid of emotion and not to be afraid of pain.
Yes.
That's part of the, and people experience emotion very differently under trance than they do in the waking state. It's a little bit like when you have a nightmare. And you wake up, you're very happy that you've woken up. And so it's a little bit, sometimes when you're under trance, you may be experiencing and healing something very intense. But when you come out, you're at a different level of consciousness. And so you're not as you're not traumatized by having healed or gone through something. It's a different, that's why I think trance work is used so much now for trauma, like with EMDR. It's another, they don't like to call it hypnosis, but I do think it's trance-inducing way of.
And the acronym stands for it?
Eye movement desensitization reprogramming. Oh,
gotcha.
It's the one where they go like this.
Yes.
Okay. And they stimulate rapid eye movement, which yes. is what happens when you're dreaming.
I see. So it's facilitated in a more scientific culture, and I like the more spiritually based culture, yes. the soul-based culture. I thought it was interesting during my session of regression with you, and I'm such a hard fast skeptic. I'm observing and taking notes the whole time inside the conscious mind. You leave it in a way that the person is not completely out, but they can actually hear what they're saying and see, and they describe it to you. And I remember seeing as I went to the right side, long table, you know, narrow table with like, it looks like 12 people on there. And I thought, well, that's interesting. If it was the Jesus, he'd be in the middle, like the Last Supper thing we always see, you know, Michelangelo, but or Da Vinci. I didn't see that. And so what I noticed was, wow, this gentleman on the very first chair, so to speak, had kind of like fluffy hair and a beard. And I thought, wow, who's he in the robes? And then he walked over, and I think you gave, I thought that any healing that I might need, they offered. Well, what happened was, sure enough, he came over right in front and came to me and faced me within like 2 to 3, 4 feet, maybe three. Mm-hmm. And he waved his hand over my heart. And immediately in session, the tears started to flow out of my face, okay, from him clearing or whatever from the heart chakra area. I thought that was interesting, but I kept being curious, and other things happened on the way in that. But that one struck with me so long. I thought, wow, I got to figure out that look. It was kind of fluffy haired. It wasn't the Christa Borgia look we see as the Jesus, you know, even though Casey says he had hair wavy that to the curly to the shoulders. I thought, that's different. And so the next day after the session, I went through hundreds of photos of guys with beards and fluffy hair, and I couldn't quite pinpoint who it was or that same look. I thought, no, that's not it, but this is kind of close if you pull the hair back. What happened to me last week, which is interesting, actually, last week, I happened to have another waking dream, and in that dream, it was that same face, and I believe it was after we had made your scheduled time for you to come as a guest today. And sure enough, I thought, wow. And I happened to look online. I thought, oh my God. And I oddly enough didn't realize this as I looked online for photographs. I came across one I had seen many, many years ago and didn't put the two and two together. But I'm going to share that with the audience for rather quickly here. If you don't mind, just going to put this up. Now, in the digital age, let's see if this will work. Are you seeing the picture?
No.
Okay. Here it says the word share. There you are. So ultimately, this.
Oh, yes. Okay, yes. I know that. Yeah.
This is the messy hair that I saw and the beard. This is the guy. Not just the look. That's the guy. And I thought, oh, my God, that's him. That's him. So I was even more excited. I thought, this is amazing. So I took the picture. I even have now it in framed in a couple places in my house. But what's interesting is when this happened, I remembered years ago reading the story about the artist, Akiyani Kramarik, who was a little girl prodigy. I'm so excited to talk about it. But she did this first painting when she was 8 or so or 9. Mm-hmm. And then it was purchased and it was put into a safe. She's in her 20s now and she's tried to recreate it. I like, this was exact, not the other recreations, but this one. But then I went on to look last week to confirm, and I found that this painting was the same one that they had apparently questioned the little boy that says, that prompted the movie Heaven is Real. Mm-hmm. And it showed him thousands of photos of what paintings or whatever of Jesus. And he pointed to this exact one as what he saw, the man that was Jesus. So I think that's interesting. And people can find it online in her work. She's got a brilliant video about her work and her process too. And I'll come back to us now. But
yeah, that picture of Jesus was given to me as a magnet. I have it on my refrigerator.
I thought that was excellent too. And I think There's no mistakes in the divine universe. Mm-hmm. All this attention or call to duty or call towards St. Clair or the order or to teach the work as Jesus actually intended instead of the interpretations we kind of give it. Because mm-hmm. he taught all these things then. He had, you know, visited the mystery schools and had learned and studied and became an initiate. But that was processed out through all the people that kind of went through the Bible and picked it out for their benefit to mm-hmm. to control the population's belief system. So I'm glad it's now being peeled down as part of that veil system. Mm-hmm. But so just so people will know, it's peterwoodbury.com. That's WOODBURY.com all together. And you can find his schedule for teaching the regression classes in Virginia Beach in September or the one in Petoskey, Michigan, in that's upper northern Michigan in August. August.
It's coming up in August 16th through 18th. And then the one in Virginia Beach is in October.
So they October.
Okay. I don't think it's sold out yet. I think it's 3/4 of the way there.
Oh, it's in October
in Virginia Beach. Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. Okay, and so October. So ultimately, I want people to go inside themselves if this is something they want to experience or later on to do. It's a certification. You have a hands-on, like I said, an expert here with over 5,000 regressions. So it'd be great to take the time to take the trip to either Virginia Beach or Petoskey and to see it, may not be as busy. And so I know Virginia Beach gets handfuls of, and they're brilliant. All volunteers help out beautifully. But we want them to have the access that they choose. And also they can contact you if they're interested in their own personal regression. I believe you do them by Skype as well. And they're able to receive that one-on-one with you as well.
Yes, I do them in person and by distance I do them over Skype.
You also do tons of speaking for the Casey organization all over the country, all over the world. You just came back from Ireland yourself. And was that not a past life opportunity for you?
Yes, it was. I think I've had several lives in Ireland as a priest. And I remember in one of them, at an older age, I committed suicide jumping from a cliff. And so I don't know which cliff it was. There's lots in Ireland, but it was very moving. And we had a tour and there was a spontaneous offer that came up to go to a small church and receive mass.
Oh,
and
wow.
So it was very, it reminded me of what my little parish must have been like however many hundreds of years ago in Ireland.
It's a beautiful feeling, and it's interesting because people don't realize if they have an affinity for a subject matter or for a place or a book or a feeling when they get there, it many times indicates past life opportunity there.
Yes.
And that's why it's memory. And remember, we retain 1% of that memory so we can get through this life, but to continue to heal. And I love Italy. I was so pleased with how they treat the people treat you. I didn't do the touristy stuff. I did the hands-on, you do your own thing. Except for when my mom was the touristy thing. But I remember, bella, bella, bella. But it was so cute. They're friendly. They're warm. Mm-hmm. It wasn't all that stuff that you think it should be. Mm-hmm. But I had this loving presence, I could believe, for Italy itself. And so out of all of Europe, I still have this affinity there. And now I and see the confirmations as to why. So coming from Santa Clarita, I just in St. Clair's honor, good thing I'm not this lifetime, but I want to process the qualities that were learned in that lifetime. Again, with all the qualities my soul has gleaned in all lifetimes and in between lives for the benefit of all. And for that, I'd like to offer you my gift as coming on today as my guest today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
A mini reading for others. And Peter, it's just going to be a mini because my real reading is 1 hour long. We can't quite do that today. But, but what I want to say is for the person, so they get the mini reading, or just to show what we do as a professional psychic, why it's different from storefront gypsies or fortune telling of that nature. Mm-hmm. Because they tend to give the rest of us as professionals a bad name. And people have to understand they're kindergarten psychics, grammar school psychics, high school psychics, graduate and postgraduate school psychics. And I would be in the post category and still studying and continuing my growth. It's necessary that we never stop. But I take my work as a divine service. So as you're formulating a question, I'll let the audience know It should be answered by yes, no, or maybe. They'll tell you the answer to that question and how it affects your life and all about it. And as always, you have free will to apply the information or not. And so the audience knows I am psychic, clairvoyant, clairaudient. I see and hear. In fact, I always say in every reading, all the clairs. So alluding to St. Clair, didn't realize I was doing that. So ultimately, I see and hear. I use literally the guidance in the divine universe. Everyone has that particular guide. It's not grandma, grandpa, lover, and friend passed over. It's a highly evolved soul you choose. You literally chose between you and the divine universe prior to your birth. At the end of this life, you can sit across like we're talking and say, you know, it was so silly I didn't listen to you that time. But my thought is we might want to get in connection with them. They're always on the right side 24/7. They don't judge. And they do know your agenda. They do know your life path. The number one quality is they love you more than anyone ever will because they truly know what love really is. So this is, I asked for demanded proof many, many years ago. I would say, yeah, this is great, but prove it. This is somebody's life. And all of a sudden it started to happen. I thought, what the heck? Then I realized they know the person so much better than me. It's a piece of cake. I just pay good, humble attention. I'm the message bearer, so to speak. Alrighty. So today, Peter, your question for me would be?
And it has to be a yes, no type question.
Oh, I'll help you phrase it if you need.
Oh,
it
could okay. Well, the question, the first thing that comes to my mind is just the, you know, I've been thinking for some time about writing a book. And it seems consciously, I think it's a great idea. But then it just, something, things always come up that I avoid it. And so I'm just, my question would be, what's that about? Or,
oh, I like that.
Should I do the book or should I just forget about it or just keep doing what I do? So it's just like, I just want to resolve this issue with this.
Excellent.
Either get down to doing it or just kind of keep teaching and there's enough.
Excellent question. Okay, I'm going to ask you to phrase it in this way. It might be more succinct. You did ask three or four questions in there, so I'm going to try to compile it in there.
Okay,
you can ask, would it be best for the greatest as good of your soul to write a book? Or you can ask if you'll overcome the blockages of writing a book between now and the next 3 to 6 months or this lifetime. Or do you want to know, would it be best to, for you to just process through your speaking and teaching instead of a book? So you have kind of like three choices. What would you prefer, Peter?
Could you say them again?
Okay. You can, that's okay. Would it be best for the greatest, highest good of your soul to write a book between now and the next 3 years, 2 years?
Okay. That one. I like that one.
Okay. You're not going to ask me, though. I'd like you to make sure your arms and ankles are uncrossed. That tends to block the energy. You're going to ask the question non-verbally to the divine universe, God, creator, in your own way, with love and respect to your guide, guardian angel, the divine universe. In your mind, non-verbally, you're going to ask, would it be best for the greatest, highest good of my soul to open to write the book between now and the next 3 years, did you say, or 3 months?
Let's say 3 years is good.
Between now and the next 3 years. Think it to the divine. Please say stop shuffling whenever you're ready for me to stop, please.
Okay.
I use the tarot only as a third point of reference because I'm a hard and fast skeptic from what they're showing me clairaudiently and what I hear and see, okay? I need at least three things going on. I use graphology, astrology, numerology, palmistry, graphology, all those sciences very well. But first and foremost, the clairvoyance, clairaudience, and all the other clairs. All right, so ultimately, the confirmation comes. And I'm using the Toth deck. It has a hermetic cross on, and the way it was intended, divinely. This is how it always should be utilized, with all the protections that are there between you and I at this time with the divine universe. On the pathway headed, Peter? Yes, on the pathway you're headed. The interesting thing is, it shows me that it started in your school period, when some sort of papers had to be done and push out, but they show me as a child. So not in your college life or your childhood, somewhere in the teens to high school period, where there was a reluctance or resistance or about paper or what it needs to be done or getting down to the putting it on pen to paper. The easy way we do it now is with those little digital, you can record it and then it now dragon or whatever process can take it through and then you can clean it up. Sometimes your thoughts come out richly. And they're showing me this, they said the flow. They said the flow will come to you at a certain time of the day that you picked. Now, this is your guide I'm hearing, and I saw that there was going to be a few other authors that they that your guide will bring to impress upon you at that time. It can be for 1 hour a day, Peter, but 1 hour can engender a chapter or two. 1 hour, goosebumps. As I'm hearing it talk about it, goosebumps or friction, it's called scientifically means your guide, guardian angel, wants for you to know what's just been thought about, talked about, stated, or said. It's very important to pay attention to. But your main guide, male, by the way, is bringing, looks like three or four of them that have an expertise in writing to come flow the information through you. When people write, it says by so-and-so, but it's not really. It's from the divine universe through that person's instrument for our benefit. It's a skill set your soul would have brought into this lifetime. But what I saw was the practice of getting down to it. They said 1 hour a day, they would be there for you. Watch the flow. Whether you take it to do verbal dictation and then clean it up later. But I'm getting goosebumps on that. It also shows me your attitude or approach. Interesting. It shows me that there may be a different opinion regarding the writing with you and someone else in the life. It could be a partner, female, something of this sort. And it shows me that there may be a difference of opinion where you apply that time. And they said, you must be frugal with your time and allow this opportunity because they're going to flow no matter what. And it's just, you can make a commitment or compromise on how that time frame is for the other people involved. It also shows me Peter Woodbury, if you stay balanced, mind, body, and soul in this lifetime, you will achieve even more recognition amongst your peer, the public, or the media. And as I'm speaking, I heard the word posthumously. The work will live on posthumously, which is important. When I moved with 24 bins of books. I had one pair of slacks in the suitcase. I thought, wait a minute. But they were important to me. And those are ones I picked to keep and not exchange for. But it shows me your soul has this kind of quality. It also shows me on the pathway you're headed, Peter. It shows that God and the universe's influence on your question. It shows me that they're trying to be supportive as possible. Be aware, they said there is some deception with a male gentleman about what you need to do or how you need to calculate it. I find that there's a certain group that I'm getting now. What is it? His name is Steve. Come on. And he promotes writers. Oh, my goodness. And I'm not getting the last name. I'm getting the first name in the face. I'll just send it in a text. But it's important those people know how to process. He processed Chicken Soup for the Soul and several other writers to get them out and up there to the public. But they process the books very rapidly. Your work, your sayings, your information. But so you don't have all that work to do if that's something that's easy for you. So you still, they said you didn't want to lose your freedom. That was the key. You figured, geez, I'm going to be tied down. But they say an hour a day, I heard them just say, is enough. It also shows me on the pathway headed, oh, wow. It shows me you've been talking about this since you were younger, okay? And it shows me on the pathway headed, they said, goosebumps again, now is the time. And they said, let it be successful. And it shows me ultimately you'll feel like you've achieved and accomplished. Like they said, you got the stone off. And then you're saying, well, what subject matter? There's so many. They said, they'll help you focus, goosebumps again, on the subject matter. And then they said, each chapter. But they show me you kind of sitting in meditative state and then boom, and then going. And you just start to flow. Hours done, boom, you're on to your other parts of your day. So you still have your free time. And it shows me, I love this one. I'm going to show the audience this out of the deck. It's called Success. And each card can be 25,000 different means or meanings or out of each card. And it's to that person that's doing the reading. But it's not just success on the exterior. This is interior satisfaction and success, which is real success, not just the monetary success. It shows me you're happy about doing this, plus the work, how what it makes people feel like. You have a brilliant way that some are very serious in their works, and some are very wordy, or some are very technical. You have a way of combining all knowledge so it flows. And I remember reading Autobiography of a Yogi, they're showing me, years ago, somebody gave it as a book because I belong to SRF, Self-Realization Fellowship, and they gave it to me. I thought, wow, I can read. That's 400 pages. I can read at least two or three books in that time. Let me wait. So I waited a year. I couldn't believe it when I picked it up to read. It took me a week to get through the whole thing and blast through. It was awesome. Fast, quick read, but awesome material. Life-changing. But it was interesting because that shows me that it flows to you in that way. They said they will give you the concepts. They will give you the underlying pieces. They said they will flow through you as you let them, as you allow. Interesting. And then you're done for that hour. You're doing it. It shows me in the past, wow. I'm getting a past lifetime where you were castigated for wasting your time. It looked like you wanted to do this work, but your father died, and it shows me a period of time, and I see carts. They look like they're 10th or 1100, the carts that are made of wood posts, and I hear them on the road rough, and it was a time the farm needed to be taken care of. It looks like father died from an illness. Mother said, you've got to get out to the field. You've got to do this. You've got to do this. I heard them say, Winnow, you've got to do this. We've got to. So you were pulled away from this ability, but your soul was guided. You got reprieved when you went down to some sort of little lake or creek or inlet, and you would just lay, and it sloped downward, I see, and you on your belly, and I would see you'd wash the water, and then you'd get more impressions about what you could write, which was interesting. They said that may work for you right now as you cast your eye to the water. It'll give that flow. You can go back and write with eagerness. I have several clients that are successful screenwriters and novelists that have been clients for many, many years that make $250,000 for the script, so to speak, one of the first few. So they've been with me for years because of this quality of process. But when they follow the guidance that they're offered, boom, it happens. So my wish and hope for you is that this come to pass for you too. Thank you very, very much for allowing me the opportunity.
Thank you too. Thank you very much. It's very helpful.
Okay. For the audience, you're welcome if you go on my website at www.antonialau.org. That's A-N-T-O-N-I-A-L-A-U, all together, .org, O-R-G, of course. You can find more information about me and for your own readings if you would like. For Peter Woodbury and his work and the classes, you should visit peterwoodbury.com, W-O-O-D-B-U-R-Y.com. And for more work, we talked about the Edgar Cayce Foundation. Look online for confirmed information that'll blow your socks off. I want to thank you again for being with us today. I want to wish the audience all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.